Liberty Aerospace gets a big boost from a deal in China. United shareholders smile, but unions frown. And Delta's non-union workers may not stay that way. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, December 11th, 2007. Another American small plane manufacturer is looking to China. Liberty Aerospace announced on Monday a 600-plane manufacturing agreement with China's Anyang Angel Aeroscience and Technology Development Company Limited, often called simply 3A. It's worth $150 million. Liberty also tells ANN that 3A has already started construction of a new factory at the Anyang Airport in Henan to manufacture the XL-2. The new plant is tied to a contract to purchase and build 600 XL-2s for use in the People's Republic of China. Liberty says Chinese-built XL-2s will meet U.S. FAA Part 23 airworthiness requirements, as well as the People's Republic of China's Civil Aviation Authority's certification requirements. United Airlines parent UAL Corp. made Wall Street happy but further upset its unions on Friday by announcing it will make a $250 million special distribution to shareholders. CEO Glenn Tilton told the Associated Press, quote, "We are pleased to make this decision to provide a distribution to our shareholders while strengthening our balance sheet and investing in our business," unquote. Greg Davidovich, president of the Association of Flight Attendants at United, responded to Tilton's announcement, quote, "The best shareholder initiative would be one that invests in the employees for the long-term success of the airline," unquote. Mark Bathurst, head of the United branch of the Airline Pilots Association, was more direct, quote, "Management has now told us they will value their own interests and short-term shareholder returns over anything else," unquote. But the move did impress Morgan Stanley analyst William Green, quote, "We believe that the market will likely now give more credit to the company's indications of intent to divest non-core assets, which could act as a catalyst for the shares," unquote. And it should be noted, there's nothing stopping employees from benefiting from stockholder dividends. You just need to buy the stock. Tilton noted that $20 million of the $250 million being distributed on January 23rd is going to employee shareholders. Over at Delta, the strains of bankruptcy and recent rumors of industry consolidation may be pushing a largely non-union workforce to consider organizing. The Atlanta Business Chronicle reports half of flight attendants at Delta have expressed interest in calling for a vote to form a union, and they're reaching out to another 40% who are on the fence about it. Flight attendants pushing for the vote say Delta workers make less hourly than compatriots at other legacy carriers. Joanne Smith, senior VP of in-flight services at Delta, says flight attendants at Delta actually earn more than others at Northwest, U.S. Airways, and United, and may reach seniority faster. Of the resurgent union organizing effort, she says, quote, "We're not surprised. Our workforce represents a pretty large amount of union dues for the AFA, over $6 million, unquote. Airline delays are aggravating. They cost businesses and their customers money, but they are good for one thing, giving the Controllers Union more ammo in its fight against the FAA. The Orlando Business Journal reports that Department of Transportation numbers show that for the first 10 months of 2007, about 24% of flights arriving at Orlando International Airport were late. That's up from less than 20% in 2006. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association says that's because the number of controllers at the facility is down to 39, way below the 69 certified controllers even the FAA says are needed there. The FAA says staffing has nothing to do with it, that the DOT numbers are grossly inflated, and that any increase in delays is caused by weather. The paper notes that flights taking off and arriving at Orlando have increased by 7,500 during that same period, and observes that airlines are scheduling too many flights. On the blame game being played by all three sides, however, San Francisco-based aviation analyst Henry Hardeveld tells the paper, quote, "There is no single group responsible and no group that's guilt-free. Without adequate runways and controllers, there are certainly going to be delays," unquote. Up next on ANN, it looks as if Airbus will win out in a huge year for airliner sales. Louis Galois says Airbus orders will top 1,300. And propellers stage a comeback at Newark Liberty. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 11, 2007. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. By all indications, 2007 will be a banner year for Boeing and rival Airbus. Last week, Boeing posted an impressive 95 additional orders for its planes, putting its gross for 2007 at 1154, with 21 days remaining on the year. But it looks as though Airbus will post even better numbers. The Seattle Post-Intelligencer reports that through October, Airbus had posted 1,021 orders, not including 163 firm orders and another 132 commitments at the Dubai Air Show. Airbus is likely working to turn those commitments into firm orders before the end of the year. Martin Bentrot, the new Boeing Commercial Airplanes sales representative for Africa and the Middle East, told the PI last week, quote, "This is an amazing cycle. It's phenomenal. I have never seen this before," unquote. Combined, Boeing and Airbus have sold over 6,000 airliners in the past 3 years. Bentrot notes Boeing is now taking 777 orders out to 2014 and orders for its upcoming 787 Dreamliner out to 2017. Even the 737 narrowbody is booked out through 2015. Both plane makers have warned analysts to expect a sharp drop in orders next year, although they said the same thing about 2007 a year ago. And as ANN reported, the Aerospace Industries Association predicts that sales will actually rise again next year by 6%, and that the increase will be even higher for airliners, making up for sagging military sector demand. In an interview published on Monday, Louis Galois, CEO of Airbus parent Eads, predicts that Airbus's final sales number for the year will be 1,300 airplanes and 700 helicopters. In the interview, conducted by a German newspaper and quoted by Reuters, Galois added that prices this year have been better than expected in the face of tough competition from Boeing. Galois also put to rest the long debate about a need for more capital at Airbus. He said Eads will have a net cash position of 4.5 billion euros, equivalent to $6.6 billion U.S. at the end of the year, and a positive free cash flow this year. A new study from Forecast International says regional jets will continue to be a hot commodity through at least 2016. Unlike other industry trend forecasts created for investors, Forecast International says its analysis is designed to aid corporate executives, military leaders, and government officials in strategic planning. The group's latest report looks to sales of 3,800 more regional jets between 2007 and 2016, 1,261 of which will be turboprops, for total sales volume of about $100 billion U.S. While you might have thought anything with propellers was going the way of the dodo, FI says that rising fuel prices and a need to control costs are producing a resurgence in turboprop sales, and that ATR and Bombardier will be rewarded for perseverance in serving that market. Among other trends, FI says demand will grow for 90 to 100-seat regional jets, although for now the airline's contracts with their pilots penalize operation of jets in that class, which FI calls an artificial constraint on sales, which will require easing for the segment to reach its potential. The aforementioned benefits of propellers are not lost on Continental Airlines. The carrier is betting that any puddle jumper stigma will be outweighed by practical benefits in its decision to replace its 50-seat Embraer jets with Bombardier Q400 turboprops on routes flying within 500 miles of Newark, New Jersey. The change will happen by summer. Aside from the more obvious benefits of the propellers, the Q400 will often be able to use Newark's short runway, 1129, which could reduce delays. The planes also cruise at 25,000 feet. That's in a range of altitudes underutilized at Newark, again, reducing congestion. NorthJersey.com reports Continental is contracted with Colgan Air to operate the Q400s under the Continental Express banner. Still ahead, Avadyne appoints a new VP of Sales. Embry-Riddle prepares to move into a new Phoenix campus. And Atlantic Southeast Airlines commits to 25 more years in Atlanta. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, December 11th, 2007. I'm Paul Plack. Avadyne Corporation announced on Monday the appointment of David Copeland as VP of Sales and Marketing. He was most recently VP of Sales and Marketing at Mooney Airplane Company, where he's credited with successfully rebranding the company and increasing sales threefold. Representatives with Avadyne say Copeland brings a lifetime of aviation knowledge and extensive general aviation sales and marketing experience to Avadyne as it expands into a full-line systems manufacturer. He's done stints with Raytheon, Cessna, and American Airlines. Earlier, he was one of the youngest General Motors dealer principals in the U.S. and was assistant manager and sales director at the family-owned Copeland Airport in Wichita, Kansas. He holds a bachelor's degree from Wichita State University. Avadyne President Dan Schwinn praised Copeland's pedigree. Quote, "His sales and marketing expertise and his industry contacts will play a vital role as we continue to grow our product lines, accelerate the expansion of our aftermarket presence, and bring the next generation of integrated flight decks to the OEM market." Unquote. Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University is moving from its campus at the Phoenix Mesa Gateway Airport to new digs in nearby Chandler. The Business Journal of Phoenix reports the new facility will be a 4,000-square-foot building near the intersection of Loops 101 and 202 in Chandler, where Embry-Riddle will lease a building in the newly constructed Santan-Dobson Business Park. Construction's not yet complete, but plans are to start classes there in March. Five new high-tech classrooms will double the room size used now. The $375,000 budget for the facility was exceeded, but as Bruce Rothwell, Dean of Academic Affairs for the school's central region, put it, quote, "It's a brand new building, very contemporary. It's also going to provide us with a little more visibility," unquote. When the relocation's completed, the university plans a dual enrollment outreach program to local high school students. Atlantic Southeast Airlines, Incorporated, is moving its headquarters into a 203,000-square-foot hangar at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport. The facility offers 17 acres of adjacent land and 1,400 parking spaces for staff. ASA says the hangar will give it room to grow its employee base and that having its maintenance operations located at the airport could reduce delays when unexpected maintenance issues arise. At least 100 administrative workers will relocate from Macon. Lisa Walker, ASA's VP of Customer Service and head of airline real estate, tells the Atlanta Business Journal the 25-year lease with the airport, quote, "shows our commitment to Atlanta," unquote. The airline is owned by SkyWest, based in St. George, Utah, and has a fleet of 159 mostly Bombardier regional jets that fly between 50 and 70 passengers. 100% of its operations support Delta's regional routes. And finally, part of what makes life fun is the diversity of people and their dreams. For example, Jeb Corliss dreams of being the first human to jump from an aircraft, reach terminal velocity on the way down, land without a parachute face down, then get up and do it again. The New York Times reports Jeb is testing a prototype wingsuit he hopes will make the stunt possible. For now, he practices with a parachute for the end of the jump, but he hopes to raise $2 million to build a special structure which will allow landing at 110 miles per hour without a chute. Most details of the design remain secret, but Corliss reveals he'll have to hit a 20-by-20-foot aperture in the structure to survive the landing. Loic Jean Albert of France, better known as Flying Dude, in a popular YouTube video, put it more bluntly, quote, "You might do it well one time and try another time and crash and die," unquote. You know, suddenly my single-place home-built experimental gyroplane doesn't look quite so scary. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today my guest is Dan Grider, a flight instructor based in Griffin, Georgia, who offers not only training, but a type rating in the legendary Douglas DC-3. If you're trying to make an impression with your resume, that would be pretty cool. And if you haven't done so already, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.